I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. You can catch this show if you want something a little different, something out of the mainstream of conservative talk radio from 9 to 11 weekdays. You can come here. It's a safe space for you independent thinkers out there, and it's turning into, it should have been viewed as almost a political consultancy show. I think I could have handed Donald Trump this election over the last 3 years had I been able to get his ear. Anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that. I heard an interesting take from a conservative commentator yesterday about one of the states that is still in play right now in the election. We're going to get to that. And next hour, I've got some clips on what is probably the biggest story that is playing out right now. Well, maybe the election, bigger. I'll give the election bigger for right now. But as far as an underlying thing, something that's been going on for a little while, about 9-10 months, and will continue going forward, that nobody is talking about right now, and that is the Great Reset. If mainstream media won't talk about it, Trump and Biden, neither one of them mentioned it, even though Joe Biden is using Build Back Better, which is part of the motto of the Great Reset. This thing is the real deal. This is the globalist move thing that is going on right now. And, you know, when you say this term globalist, one of the things I'm pretty thankful to Donald Trump's presidency for is he made things like the deep state and globalists. Those used to be almost viewed as some kind of conspiratorial terms. He has driven them into the mainstream now, so I can say that with all confidence and without fear of being shunned as a tin foil hat wearing weirdo. This is the Great Reset is a globalist plot. It's the globalist plan for us all, and as I said, nobody's really talking about it, and I've also kind of along those lines, I've got a couple of surprising clips that'll really bolster a point I've made many times, most specifically yesterday, and that is my point that the elites love it when you ditch your friends and family members over politics, but they don't do it. And I've got what I think is just a great clip to really drive that point home. We'll get to that next hour as well, but we're going to talk about the Great Reset in their own words. We're not just going to talk about it. We're going to listen to their plan for all of us next hour. Today is November 5th. Remember the 5th of November. I don't know if you're familiar with that phrase. That was what was used to talk about the gunpowder plot in England when a guy named Guy Fawkes was arrested as he was guarding a large cache of explosives. He was planning on taking out British Parliament and the King at the time. It was a rebellion plot. And this is the Guy Fawkes mask you'll see. A lot of liberty lovers, a lot of people who oppose things like globalism. You'll see it a lot of times in England and in here. Had the hacker group Anonymous that was lashing out against the system. They would wear the Guy Fawkes mask. Anonymous himself is, or that when they put out a video from Anonymous. I don't know what's going on with Anonymous these days, but interesting group, but they're in the Guy Fawkes mask in honor of this guy that was trying to take down the system in England on the 5th of November in the 1600s. And so for today's quote of the day, I'm actually going to play the Guy Fawkes speech from V for Vendetta. Now, this is a movie clip. There's some kind of there's some scenes moving around in this. You'll hear some voices, but what you should really pay attention to is the character, the hero of the V for Vendetta film. And if you have not seen it, I really encourage you to watch it. I find it to be a fascinating movie. It's one of these that I've had to watch several times to get things out of it, and I need to watch it again. It's been a while. But an interesting speech when you think about the fact that this movie, let's see if I can see what year, 2006. V for Vendetta came out in 2006, and you'll just hear a couple of things in this monologue and realize, He kind of called it right back in 2006.
Good evening, London. Allow me first to apologize for
this emergency channel.
I do, like many of you, appreciate the comforts of the everyday routine.
Maybe I should set up the scene just a little bit. If you haven't seen the movie, this is the guy that is plotting to take down this oppressive English government in the movie, and he breaks into all television networks. Very movie-ish thing to do. So he breaks into the broadcast of all major networks, so everybody sitting around watching the news that night suddenly gets this guy's, essentially, his manifesto.
The security of the familiar, the tranquility, repetition.
Bloody hell.
I enjoy them as much as any bloke. But in the spirit of commemoration, whereby those important events of the past, usually associated with someone's death or the end of some awful bloody struggle, are celebrated with a nice holiday, I thought we could mark this November the 5th, a day that is sadly no longer remembered, by taking some time out of our daily lives to sit down and have a little chat. There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Let me think, just let me think.
I suspect even now orders are being shouted into telephones and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words are for the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and soliciting your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror.
Ding, ding.
I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease.
Ding, ding.
There were a myriad of problems which conspired to corrupt your reason and rob you of your common sense. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor, Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Inspector, you're almost through.
Last night, I sought to end that silence. Last night, I destroyed the Old Bailey to remind this country of what it has forgotten.
More than 400 years ago, a great citizen wished to embed the 5th of November forever in our memory.
His hope was to remind the world that fairness, justice, and freedom are more than words. They are perspectives. So if you've seen nothing, if the crimes of this government remain unknown to you, then I would suggest that you allow the 5th of November to pass unmarked. But if you see what I see, if you feel as I feel, and if you would seek as I seek, then I ask you to stand beside me 1 year from tonight, outside the gates of Parliament, and together we shall give them a 5th of November that shall never, ever be forgotten.
Great movie. Great movie. It's just very interesting to listen to that thing. And he talks about, oh, they got you to control. Said, who's responsible for this, for the censorship, for the oppression? Said, you need to look in the mirror. Oh, they scared you with wars and terrorism and disease. But you passively said, they said, give, the government said, just give us all the power. We'll keep you safe. And you did it out of fear. It is pretty timeless. Throughout history that people have allowed that to happen to them, but it is certainly appropriate in today's day and age where we have done exactly the same thing. So there's my very, very, very long, record long quote of the day, which is, again, from the V from Vendetta movie. I encourage you to watch it if you've got that rebellious spirit. If you want to see the little man striking out at the powerful, the censors, the oligarchs, great movie. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll take a quick break. I wanted to get to this. I ran across a very interesting piece. You can imagine that this headline, for me who spends most days talking about the corruption in politics, when I saw a headline that says, an honest manifesto for winning elections, I immediately clicked on it. That's clickbait to a freedom lover and to someone who is very jaded and cynical about politicians in both parties. So we'll get to that story when we come back. Stay with me.
We're
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller, and Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller, and Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com. Talk about election, where it stands, and just a little bit here. I made a reference the other day to a meme that I'd seen that I wish I had thought of myself, and it was a picture of Crips and Bloods fighting, one in their red, one in their blue, and the meme author said that it almost feels like they're doing this to us on purpose. And I got to tell you, what we're seeing with the election right now is headed down a very, very dark road. I actually think Donald Trump has got a chance. And I know a lot of people think he's got a great chance. It's definitely going to happen. I mean, if he gets to the root of it, it's just, I don't think it's a given. But what is a given coming out of this? The process that we're seeing unfold day to day, here's what the end result is going to be. It is going to be a less legitimate election in the eyes of the other side than even if there had been a winner on election night. There was already going to be a lot of contentiousness between people. So the Democrats didn't accept 2016. If Biden were to win, certainly the Republicans would not accept 2020. But this way, this particular way, all the funky stuff going on with voting, quitting, counting at 10:30 at night. I remember seeing that. I said, what? I texted a friend of mine. What the hell? Well, you just go home. You just punch out. The horn go off like a Fred Flintstone episode. They just pack up their lunch boxes and go home in the middle of a national election. But there's enough funkiness going on that the right and Trump supporters will never accept a Biden presidency. You will go to your grave saying you were robbed. And you may or may not be right. I don't know. They need to prove this stuff. I'm not underestimating the number of people who voted against Donald Trump, unfortunately. Sure, there's some hanky-panky stuff, enough to tilt this election. I don't know. We'll see. But boy, it just feels like they have, for a year that has stoked so much chaos, the riots that have already taken place, the coronavirus, the stress that has put people under financially and mentally. And now this, it just feels like this is the year they're putting their boot on our throat. And I'll tell you, we'll look at that next hour when we talk about the Great Reset, because it sets us up perfectly for what is this recognized official plan of people like the World Economic Forum, the International Monetary Fund. These are the superpowers, the people that, you know, you talk about the globalists, that's who these people are. They are the globalists. And they've been talking about this plan for a while. It's not something that just came out in the past few weeks because of the devastation from our overreaction to coronavirus. This is something that's been in the works for a while. So we're going to take a look at that. But I wanted to get to the story I ran across. The headline was, An Honest Manifesto for Winning Elections. You know, I am somebody, I think it would be wildly popular, to be honest, with the American people. But, of course, I'm the guy who kind of tough loves everybody through 2 hours a day of radio. I'm going to do it again today. This is it's a story by, or article by, Egon von Greyerz. He's at goldswitzerland.com. This is probably a real money guy. Gold and silver standard type stuff, seeing the insanity of where we are financially. I know we don't like to talk about the money stuff, apparently. It's not brought up in any of the debates. Here's his piece, and I'm going to read his little, what he would give as a speech, an honest speech from a politician running for president of the United States. He starts his article by saying, The U.S. election has finally taken place. During the campaign, both candidates have totally avoided the critical issue that will bring the U.S. down in the next 4 years. The election campaign has been ugly but totally avoided the monumental problem facing the American people. Clearly, neither of them wanted to tell the voters that he will take over the running of a totally bankrupt country that is likely to collapse economically, financially, and morally in the next 4 years. Now, don't let this get too depressing to you. This is a math problem that we've got. And to be honest with you, I would have said that same thing in 2016. It was the one thing that kind of said to me, well, if Hillary wins, maybe there'll be a financial crisis and we can blame it on her and move back to some free market, more conservative financial principles. But Donald Trump got it, and we didn't really get that crisis outside of the ridiculousness around COVID. But here's what he writes as the speech. How would this hit you if you were a voter? Would you appreciate the honesty, or would this just turn you off and say, oh, that's just too dark? And, you know, reality can be kind of dark. If you've got a government that overspends, misspends, misallocates money for decade upon decade, really for about the last 100 years, you dig yourself into a hole. Ignoring the hole might make you feel better, but particularly if you've got children or grandchildren, maybe we should actually address it. Well, here's what his manifesto would be for a candidate, if they were honest, if they were honest. This is the speech that would be given. Our nation is bankrupt. We cannot make ends meet, and we need to eliminate Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and defense totally to balance the budget. That will save us $3 trillion, which almost covers the 2020 deficit. The problem is that we expect a bigger deficit next year. COVID is paralyzing major parts of the country and will be very costly. It will also have permanent negative effects. In addition, we expect major problems in the insolvent financial system. This will necessitate the printing further of trillions of dollars or even tens of trillions. But as we print these dollars, we get an even bigger problem. The value of the dollar will fall precipitously, and we will need to print more and borrow even more. This will create a vicious circle with a lower dollar, bigger deficits, and bigger debts plus inflation. So these are the facts. I'm obviously very sorry to present these to you, but I'm certain that there can be no other outcome. I sincerely hope you will elect me on this platform. After all, I am the only presidential candidate in history who has told his people the truth and the real state of the nation. And please don't believe the fake promises of the other candidate. A liar doesn't deserve to be president. Finally, I promise to do my best to manage the coming disorderly collapse of the USA to the best of my ability. I don't know that resonates with a whole lot of voters. I would imagine people on both sides of the aisle will say, oh, that's awfully dark. We want positivity. What you want is delusion. You want packaged delusion from one side or the other. And we know Joe Biden's not being honest. Joe Biden certainly doesn't address the debt or anything like that. And he's got grand plans for a total remake of the economy and the Green New Deal. And he's going to provide all these jobs and infrastructure. Joe Biden has got these grand plans. They calculated what they were at $5.4 trillion over the next 10 years. Unfortunately, Donald Trump's plans were about $4.8 trillion over the next 10 years. Only about a $600 billion difference over 10 years, or $60 billion a year, was the difference between the spending that Joe Biden and Donald Trump were going to do. And Donald Trump told us we were going to have the best economy in history of the nation this next year, when most certainly that is a delusional promise at best. This is actually what's going on right now. I saw these headlines today. Initial jobless claims rose by 751,000 again last week. Very slightly lower than last week's upwardly revised $758,000 person rise, but still around four times the pre-COVID lockdown norms. Another 751,000 people last week filed for first-time unemployment. Pandemic emergency claims continue to soar to a new record high. There remains around 22 million people on government jobless benefits. Absolutely amazing. And so this is a headline I ran across yesterday. It has more to do with the election, but it's a sign of 2020, basically. Google searches for liquor stores near me hit an all-time high. I think on Wednesday or Tuesday. You can't find love in a bottle. I ran across this too before we kind of get into more of the actual election stuff and Trump's quest to get to the courts on these counts and everything. I read an article said the Romans didn't invent elections. There's evidence of voting that goes back nearly 1,000 years before Rome to civilizations in ancient India and Mesopotamia. And the Greeks, of course, developed the concept of democratic elections more than any other ancient culture. Now, this is what I wanted to bring up. The Greeks had it right. Listen to this. I kind of like the idea of this one. The Greeks even held negative elections where they would vote on whether, excuse me, The Greeks even held negative elections where they would vote on which former politicians should be banished for corruption and incompetence. I say install the negative election. There should be some kind of a, when a politician gets out of office, we can all judge their record, how things are standing, if they don't do well, and we can vote to banish them. Wouldn't that be fantastic? A recent study by Wakefield Research found that 11% of couples in the United States have split up over political differences. And among millennials, that number rises to 22%. This author who wrote this, and I didn't attribute it, I can't remember who this was, says, I find it remarkable that we allow extreme emotions for politicians who will most likely never even meet to cause a breakdown in relationships with some of the actual people who are in our daily lives. And this goes to the point I've made many times, but most specifically yesterday, that being convinced by political party and politicians to disassociate yourself from friends and family is psychopathic behavior. And I'm going to show you next hour, too. That's not how the elites play the game. Very, very interesting friendship I uncovered last night in doing some research on the Great Reset. And I started looking at the Davos crowd, you know, the Davos crowd. This is where they held the World Economic Forum. This is that 0.01%. They get together in Switzerland every year. Kind of chum around. Some of them liberals, some of them conservatives. I should be using air quotes here in the studio, but all globalists, and you may find some surprising names on the list of people that go to Davos. But certainly I ran across a friendship that maintains itself regardless of political party. They certainly aren't going to let themselves be hoodwinked. So anyway, we'll talk about that coming back in just a second. I'm going to ask this question before the break, and I'll ask it when I come back, too, because maybe some of you know. Number here is 601-879-0002. Where is Trump? Where is Donald Trump? I may have missed it, but I've watched a lot of news. I've had it on. Not obsessively watching it, but I've had it on. This may be the longest I've seen Donald Trump go without being in front of a camera since he took the presidency 4 years ago. Where in the world is Donald Trump while all this stuff is going on? I checked his Twitter feed yesterday just for proof of life. I did see he's still tweeting. I think he was tweeting this morning, but I am kind of interested in, I would imagine, I'm out of the loop. There's some people who have the inside track. They know the skinny. They know what's going on behind the scenes. So if anybody knows, please let me know. Where is Donald Trump? We'll be right back. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WIAB, phone number 601-879-0002. Can anybody tell me where Donald Trump is? I haven't even heard the question asked. I mean, I've watched a lot of media pundits, Fox, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, NBC, and I seem to be the only one that's just thinking, this is an odd time for Donald Trump. I mean, the last time I saw him was election night when he came out and said, we won this thing, they're trying to steal it. Now, it's only been a day. But in terms of Trump's exposure to the media, 24 hours without any footage of him or a statement to a reporter or anything is a long time, particularly when something like this is going on. So where exactly is Donald Trump? I would imagine there's theories. out there of where he is. I want to be clued in. I want to be in the club. I want to find out what's going on. I think that just on the news break just then, if you're listening on the podcast, you didn't hear it, but they were talking to one of the DHS people, and they said, "We believe that our prediction that this will be the most safe and secure and accurate election in all of human history has been achieved." Department of Homeland Security. How are you feeling about that out there, conservatives? I got to tell you, the first time I heard after 9/11, they announced this Department of Homeland Security. It was creepy to me at the time. Something about the term homeland kind of reminded me of fatherland. It just felt very Nazi-ish, Soviet-ish, something like that. Department of Homeland Security, you know, Department of National Security, we're kind of used to that. But Department of Homeland Security, we're protecting the homeland. Anyway, how are conservatives feeling about, I guess DHS was kind of over this election. They're the overseers. How are you feeling about DHS now? Are you glad you cheered for their creation under the Bush administration and all of their funding? See, DHS is one of the biggest recipients of this $1 trillion budget we have for national, air quotes here in the studio, defense, the military, the three-letter agencies, and Department of Homeland Security comes in around $200 billion, I believe. $180 billion. You have a lot of faith in Department of Homeland Security? I don't know. Creeps me out. I'm critical of Donald Trump on this channel, on my show, each and every day. I will be critical of anybody who assumes leadership over all of us that has some level of authority. I think that's what good Americans do. That's what the Founding Fathers did. They split off from a government that they were not happy with, even though most vast majority of people were still loyal to the king here in the colonies. The founder said enough is enough, and so I'm kind of like that. I look at power with a lot of skepticism, but just to be very, very clear, I support Trump going after and going after hard any election corruption, any voting corruption. If it's there, I hope that he exposes it. If it turns out that he wins the presidency from that, that is a good thing, although it is a terrible way that this will play out. It is going to be, like I say, it's going to create the chaos that elites love, where we get out and fight with each other. You know, the people we have most in common with, we fight with, and the elites, we we worship them. We get on their team. They're our team captains. They're like coaches on the sideline. Get out there and hit harder. That's what political parties and the elites are. Anyway, I hope that if there is election stuff, and funny thing is that most people, I don't know what the percentage would be, but I would say 60-70% of the people in this country, they already know. Half of them know that there absolutely is enough election fraud that tipped this election in Joe Biden's favor and Donald Trump has been robbed, and then the other half knows for absolute certain that there was not one single thing that ever happened in all of 2020 that was at all nefarious and that every vote is being counted and they're all legitimate. It just depends. Nobody's really waiting for anything to be proven or have it actually come out. We already know where we are. I heard that Trump had a strategy before the election. I kind of broke a rule of mine and commented on a story when I saw this comment and something someone had said. This was before Tuesday. Before Tuesday, they were laying out the plan that Donald Trump has after the election of going through the courts and all of this other stuff. And I just thought, why doesn't he just be more likable? why doesn't he just change things? You know, it's funny to me. I talk a lot about this because this is a kind of a tough love show. I might tell you things that you don't want to hear. But don't be like the 2016 Democrats who refused to fix what was broken with the Democratic Party, refused to understand why Hillary Clinton lost. They had to blame it on the Russians, for goodness sake. Absolute ridiculousness, but they kept doing it. But they did it because they just cannot admit that they made a strategic mistake or they put up a wildly unpopular candidate. And now I see Republicans doing the same thing. You just won't admit it. What everybody wants to do is they want the media to change, right? Don't you want the media to change? Stop going after Trump with all this silliness and asking all these dumb questions and trying to paint him as a racist. We want you to report accurately. We want you to do this. We want you to do that. We want you to quit carrying water for Joe Biden and covering up for him. You want to change the entire media. You want to change the establishment Republicans, the Lincoln Project type folks that went after Donald Trump. You want all of them to stop going after him and go back to being a Republican and support their president. Another whole big group that you want to change. You want to change Hollywood and athletes. LeBron James, stop talking about this stuff. Nobody wants to hear you. You want to change all of Hollywood that comes out and weighs in, as they have for decades now, about being liberals. You want to change all of their behavior. But the one most damaging behavior, I believe, and it's not a testament to any of his policies or anything else, it's Trump's style. But you don't want to touch that. No, that's perfect. But we need to change. Trump will have a fair shake if you just change all of the Democrats, all of the media, all of Hollywood, all of the deep state, and all of the social media companies. If we can change all of them, then Donald Trump will have a nice smooth ride and his exceptionalism will shine through. When really, I think you could have looked at one guy, that's Donald Trump, and said, hey, tone it down just a little bit. We're with you. We love it. We think it's funny, but some people are turned off. Just cool it down a little bit. Just go to work. Keep doing what you're doing. You're killing it up there. Just don't talk about it quite so much. Just do the job. Make things better. People will notice, but people refuse to do that. I mean, I see this headline. I tell you what, I'm asking where Donald Trump is because I haven't seen him. And I see this headline that was on Drudge. Biden, who has received more than 71 million votes, the most in history. Oh, that would hurt Donald Trump's feelings. And you'll say, but Mike, there was election fraud. He didn't get all those votes. You could be right. Maybe on the margins, but I would say that the lines, people waiting 2-3 hours to vote, suggest that there were huge numbers that signed up. So awfully a lot of people voted, and apparently a lot of people, maybe a record number, voted against Donald Trump. Donald Trump, when you look at this headline, Biden, who has received more than 71 million votes, that is about 69 million people who voted against Donald Trump. And I'm the bad guy for pointing out that the style might be a problem? Because I can't imagine 2 million people on Tuesday were excited to go vote for a Joe Biden presidency, that Joe Biden's their dream candidate, that Joe Biden inspired them in some way or another. No, 2 million people might have been inspired by Joe Biden. For what reason, I can't possibly imagine. But the other 69 million people got up off of the couch and stood in lines in the rain and in the cold and missed part of work because they wanted to pull a lever against Donald Trump. Oh, the media's responsible for part of that, and Hollywood, they've been unfair to him. There's no doubt about that, but I'm telling you right now, he didn't make it easier on himself. I heard yesterday, I don't listen to the Rush Limbaugh show. I don't like Rush Limbaugh's show. It's not interesting to me. I know everything he's going to say. It's like I like Michael Savage because Michael Savage sometimes says things that surprise me and make me think about something. I don't need to hear kind of propaganda radio. Now, Rush Limbaugh's the godfather. I wish him all the best health-wise, and so, boy, did he create a talk radio industry just almost single-handedly. I mean, people went before him, but he kind of perfected it and took it to a national level, so all due respect to him. It's just not my cup of tea. I listened to him for 10, 12 years, and it's kind of like, okay, I get it. Everything Republicans do is good. Everything the Democrats is bad. I got it. Anything else? But I was listening to a clip yesterday from Rush Limbaugh. You know, I listen to the different shows at night to kind of get a sense of what they're talking about. And this was what Rush Limbaugh said yesterday that I thought was kind of interesting. He was talking about Arizona. And he was going after the McCain family in Arizona. He was calling them a political gang there that just hated Donald Trump and wanted to do anything to take down Donald Trump. And, you know, Cindy McCain made commercials for Joe Biden. Look, I can't stand John McCain and his family. If you've ever listened to this show when he was alive or since he's been a couple of miles beneath us, I have expressed my dislike for John McCain since the day I came on this air. I do not like John McCain. But I can say those things because I don't need to pick up any Arizona voters. And so what Rush Limbaugh was doing was talking about how it was the McCain family may end up costing Donald Trump Arizona. Now, the count's getting close. Trump may end up carrying Arizona. But this was the Rush Limbaugh take. It is the McCain's fault They are just hell-bent on destroying Donald Trump in Arizona, and he goes on and on about McCain. And one of the first things I think into my mind is that, well, that's funny, because back when I used to listen to your show, you painted John McCain as a national treasure and a hero. You told us in 2008 that he was the man to lead this nation and save us all. He was a fine patriot and a veteran, and we needed to all line up behind John McCain. You're a big John McCain fan. As a matter of fact, you were a big John McCain fan until 2016 when you decided to get on the Trump train because Trump was winning. Now John McCain is a problem. So, you know, you tried to sell me on him for decades, and suddenly now Rush Limbaugh switched teams. He got on the Trump coattails like a lot of these people did. They just kind of, I don't think they really cared. I mean, you go back into the primaries and stuff. They weren't supporters from the day Donald Trump came down the elevator. But as soon as they saw the tea leaves, they jumped on the Trump train, and they've been on there firmly. God knows they've been loyal ever since. But it was just interesting to me because all I could think of was, well, maybe, and again, I don't like John McCain. I criticize him here on the show every single chance his name comes up. He's such a warmonger. John McCain, largely responsible for policies that ended up killing hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of innocent people halfway around the world. Thousands of them our own troops. So I've got nothing for John McCain. But again, I don't have to get voters in Arizona. So I'm listening to Rush Limbaugh talk about how the McCain family all alone is going to cost Trump Arizona. And all I could think to myself was, I don't know, then if maybe Donald Trump shouldn't have gone after John McCain publicly. He didn't have to. He didn't really get anything for it. Oh, his supporters like it. I mean, John McCain's not popular anymore. I like that. That's a good thing. That's a benefit of the Trump presidency. He kind of exposed John McCain as a neocon warmonger. That's great with me because I've been talking about it for 15 years. But I didn't need votes from Arizona. And this is what it just takes me back to this idea of the style, the Trump style. See, it may have cost him the presidency, just these one series of endless tweets against John McCain. And saying he doesn't have any respect for him, saying all the negative things. See, he didn't have to say those things. That didn't benefit him in any way. It didn't pass any legislation. It didn't make him more popular in the halls of Congress to get deals done and bring people together to negotiate and get his policies enacted. It was a petty personal feud between John McCain and Donald Trump. And from the depths of hell, John McCain may be able to reach his evil little finger back into Arizona and tilt it towards Joe Biden. And again, I say, this is a tough love show. I'm not telling you not to like Trump. I'm not telling you to not want Trump to win. I want Trump to win. But you're not going to change the McCain family and all of the other rhinos in the Lincoln Project, the neocon warmongers who have been never Trumpers since it started. You're not going to change them. You can lash out at them and scream. You're not going to change the media. You're not going to change the social media networks, particularly not while you're funneling money to them. I don't know if you've paid attention to the markets this week, but the tech guys are they're getting really rich off you guys this week. Markets have been just taking off. NASDAQ has just been hitting huge days these days, billions of dollars flowing into Silicon Valley. You're not going to change them. You're not going to change the athletes. You're not going to change Hollywood. You're not going to change the Democrats. You really just had 4 years to maybe just kind of course correct one guy. And I think you would have had a better result, and we'd be looking at something different today. I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back. All night
with the King. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
All right, we're back. We've only got a few more minutes in this hour. Next hour, we're going to look at the Great Reset. In their own words, this is a real plan This and it sounds ominous. It sounds like a conspiracy theory or something. They're planning on taking over the globe. Yeah, they are. I mean, they've got some ideas for us, and a lot of them people will not like. To you Biden supporters out there, to those people that wanted to see Trump taken down so that Biden can, the Build Back Better Biden, I think you have no idea what you are supporting. No, as a matter of fact, I take that back. I know you have no idea what you're supporting because it's terrifying and it will not be good for you. It will not be good for you. And this is the big mystery to me. Why Trump didn't point out, just look at the podium at one of Biden's speeches and go, Build Back Better? That's the World Economic Forum, the IMF, and the UN's agenda. That's actually what they call it. I've played clips here where you hear the people up in Canada saying it, down in Australia, in England, Boris Johnson, the so-called conservative, air quotes here in the studio around that word, he said they need to build back better. This is a real plan that they are rolling out, and nobody's talking about it. It's the Mr. Snuffleupagus of 2020 so far. Nobody seems to see this, and I'm telling you, you Biden supporters, you have no idea what you are wanting. Or no, I take it back. You don't want this. You have no idea what you're going to get. Let me put it that way. You think this is going to be some kind of a fairer country and he cares about you. No, he's going to make you just a little bit smaller cog in a much bigger global machine. Now, we're going to listen, as I said, we're going to listen to the World Economic Forum themselves. I am curious about one thing. I believe that conservatives have stood down largely for the last 4 years on some issues. In some cases, Donald Trump has done things that conservatives should applaud. The courts, most glaringly of all of them. But on other things, I think people should have said, we love you, but that's kind of a non-starter with us. But we didn't. Conservatives stood down, and we've seen a lot of things rolled out that I think are going to be very dangerous long term. You love the executive orders. How will you like those Biden executive orders? See, when Donald Trump did executive orders, you know what Trump supporters said? He's getting things done. Now, when Biden does executive orders that you don't like, will you say, well, you have to admit, he's getting things done. He's banning fracking. He got that done. I've warned you about these executive orders, but as long as our guy's doing them, executive orders are great. It goes around that corrupt Congress. When Joe Biden's doing executive orders, will you say, well, he's just getting around that corrupt Congress? Of course you won't. You'll be furious. Now, hopefully we don't have to face that, but I am going to do this thought experiment. If Joe Biden was president and one of his worst policies ever, he's talking about a national mask mandate. It would be very interesting to me to see, would Tate Reeves stand up to a Democrat president and refuse to do a national mask mandate? That is assuming he gets Thomas Dobbs' arm out of his butt when it comes to the coronavirus. You know, he's like a ventriloquist. Thomas Dobbs just controls policy through Tate Reeves. But it'd be interesting. Would Republicans all of a sudden find their, I don't know, that antiquated idea of freedom and personal responsibility? And would a Tate Reeves say, President of the United States can't make my citizens wear a mask. Only I can. I don't know. It would be nice to see the Republicans fight again, I'll tell you that.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. I am going to spend some time today, most of this hour probably, on the Great Reset. This is the plan going forward. This is something that Republicans don't know is coming, by and large. And Democrats don't know they just opened the door for it. And to the Democratic voter out there, look, you listen to my show every day. You don't like Donald Trump? I understand. I don't get outright hatred. He's not a racist, all the ridiculousness. But if you don't like his style, we got that in common. I don't like his style. But you think you just voted for a kinder, gentler America, things getting back to normal? Well, I'm going to show you what the true powers that be think is going to be the new normal for you. It's not just news headlines without a bunch of angry tweets from our president. No, they've got a whole new normal. It's not the old normal. It's a new normal, and they're going to plan it out for us. And the things that paved the way, and I got to tell you, I'm going to be vindicated on several things I've said that have gone against popular opinion. Number one is COVID. Still here, still reported on now. I was talking to the station owner before I came on. And he said, Jim, I didn't see COVID at all yesterday. I said, you're right, it was crowded. I actually looked because he was right. I mean, I listened to all the news networks. You barely heard COVID mentioned because it was crowded out by the election. So I went to something like USA Today, and I had to scroll significantly down the page to see any COVID headlines. But they were there, and I know that this is just temporary. As the election settles out, the COVID story will be bubbling back up. It's not over because it hasn't fulfilled its purpose. COVID wasn't about hurting Donald Trump. It was used to try to hurt Donald Trump. But that wasn't the main goal. That was just a side benefit to the people that wanted to hurt Trump. But during the course of 2020, and really it precedes this, but if you just look at this year and what we're about to listen to in a second about the Great Reset, things like COVID, the lockdowns, the stress on people of what we've seen around this overreaction to COVID, the racial divisions, the protests, the violence in the streets, the looting, the burning, the feeling of instability. Now we've got on top of that contested elections, which will ignite a whole new round of protests and possible violence, regardless of which way this election ends up going. And the election, really, I mean, this is the recipe for maximum chaos. A Joe Biden victory would have meant that a lot of people on the right would have been suspicious that it was stolen and probably would have done some protesting, and you certainly would smell a rat and be mad about the last 4 years of them constantly harassing Donald Trump. That would have gone either way. A Trump victory would have certainly sent the left out into the street because, oh my gosh, Orange Man bad for another 4 years. They would have freaked out. We know what their reaction would have been had he went on Tuesday. So it would have been bad. If we had settled the election on Tuesday, this makes it significantly worse because, number one, Donald Trump is letting all of his supporters know that the only way Joe Biden wins is if he steals it. So nobody, no Trump supporter will accept that Donald Trump was beaten, even if it turned out to be fair and square. And I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying that seed is already planted. And if Donald Trump, after court challenges, after tossing bad ballots, he ends up retaining it, it just is a whole nother thing for the left to freak out about. This is the recipe for maximum chaos going forward, and I don't think there's a way to step back from it. And then there's the crashing economy that's around all of this stuff. Well, except for the markets. Markets are loving this. See, stock markets used to be based on business activity. Is our economy doing well? A lot of people got money. Are they saving? Do they have good jobs? How are businesses doing? Are they getting people in the door? Are they making profits? Are they controlling costs? That was the old stock market. The new stock market is the worse things get, the better the Wall Street firms do because they don't have to worry about those pesky customers. I mean, if you've ever owned a business, it's a pain in the butt. You got to get up in the morning. You got to go to the shop. You got to hire people. You've got to engage with your customers. You've got to market to them. There's a whole bunch of stuff you've got to do to attract business. And then you've got to monitor that business. You got to make sure you maintain the relationships. You've got to make sure it's all profitable by controlling your costs. It's hard work running a company. It's much easier to just stay at home and wait for the Federal Reserve to digitally send you a few billion dollars if you're one of the Wall Street firms. And that's the new model for Wall Street now. So the market doesn't care about this chaos. They actually know. And I read the quote from JP Morgan. They actually came out and told the truth the other day. They said, if more chaos makes it more likely that the Fed's going to start doing more of their operations. And the market's going through the roof at this time. Economy suffering, 751,000 new unemployment claims, 22 million people still on emergency pandemic relief. and the stock market's going up because it doesn't care about Main Street anymore. It doesn't care about business conditions. It doesn't care about profitability or people's ability to buy goods and services. It doesn't care. All it cares about is the Federal Reserve's printing press and a Congress that may dole out more bailouts to big industries, which they will, and maybe a little $1,200 check to the little people out there just to keep them happy, keep them on the couch, get them that new TV so they stay glued to the couch. But with all of this instability we're seeing right now, you have to understand it's not a mistake. It's not random happenstance. It is the goal. Chaos is the goal. It's like I tell people on these wars. I still hear people say, well, if George Bush had done this or Barack Obama, he didn't do enough to end the Afghanistan war. He should have gone. I mean, Obama even did the surge. Oh, they just didn't fight it. They didn't let the generals do what they needed to do. No, no. Winning a war is not the goal. In the days of trillion-dollar defense budgets, weapon sales, the goal is the war. The goal is the conflict. And it doesn't matter. Now it's in the U.S. We haven't really cared too much when it was around the world. I've noticed that. I mean, I care. I talk about it a lot on here. I'm incredibly anti-war, anti-meddling in other people's countries. But for the most part, and I'm talking to a conservative audience, like the V for Vendetta said at the beginning of the show, if you want to know why we're in this mess, look in the mirror. We didn't really seem to mind when we're starving out Iran and crashing their economy. We don't really mind when we sanction Russia from doing any business and it crushes their economy. We don't really mind when there's chaos in the streets of Ukraine after we overthrow their government through the State Department. We don't care about any of that stuff. That's their problem. They'd probably deserved it. Well, now they've brought it home to us. And they have a plan going forward. It's called the Great Reset. And I'll tell you, I appeal to people's humanity here all the time, and I know it falls on deaf ears. I figure for every 100 people, maybe one person goes, yeah, that's kind of true. Maybe we shouldn't be doing that to other countries. I don't like it here. We don't like violence in the streets. What do you think now when our State Department or Mike Pompeo's big butt comes out and tells you, look at those elections over there in Egypt. We can't trust those things. Those are illegitimate elections. How does it feel now? Now the world's looking at us and going, doesn't seem like y'all can get an election right either. Looks like there's some fraud and some chicanery going on in your elections. Should the Russians come overthrow us and install the government that they think is right for us because our elections weren't on the up and up? How would you like that? You want the Chinese to come over here and invade our country? Install who they believe is our president? Because nobody seemed to have a problem when Mike Pompeo and Marco Rubio and Elliot Abrams and the Trump administration just came out and said, well, we've picked a new president for Venezuela. You were fine with that. But I bet you wouldn't like China picking our next president. You wouldn't like it if China came over here and said, Nancy Pelosi's president. We've just decided. And if you don't accept her, maybe we'll come in there and make you put Nancy Pelosi in office. But anyway, chaos is the goal. And it's been achieved. And over the next couple of weeks to months, I have a feeling it's going to accelerate because, as I said, this election chaos, this contested election, voter fraud, challenges in the courts, no matter which way it goes, it is going to produce the maximum amount of distrust in this election going forward. So you are going to have an energized other half. It doesn't matter if it's Trump. The left is going to think he stole it. Joe Biden won. He won the popular vote. And then they went in all these court challenges. They made him quit counting votes. They disenfranchised a bunch of people. And he stole the presidency. We told you he wouldn't leave. That's what they're going to say. And if Joe Biden gets in, Trump supporters are going to say he stole that election. And maybe he did. We'll see. But chaos is the goal. And they've got us right where they want us. And when I come back, we're going to start getting into the Great Reset. I'm going to let you hear in their own words how they're going to rebuild us, how they're going to build us back better, because we're all desperate now for some level of normalcy and calmness. Well, they'll let us be calm as soon as we accept their way of life. And their way of life, their idea is the Great Reset, as Klaus Schwab, the arch villain, he looks like Dr. Evil, comes out and tells us from the World Economic Forum. We're going to get to that when we come back. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
I've got a lot of clips. I want to get into this. We're going to talk now about the Great Reset. This goes along with Joe Biden's thing, Build Back Better. This is a globalist agenda that nobody pointed out during the election. And I, for the life of me, I'm telling you, a lot of people think Donald Trump is the person who stops this globalist stuff, and so we need to have him back in the White House. I agree. He certainly is better, but I'm really wondering why he didn't mention this during the election, the Great Reset or Build Back Better. It was right out there, low-hanging fruit for everybody to explain this to people. Democrats don't know what they just voted for. And Republicans don't know what's coming because it hasn't really been explained to them in a large ways in the media. It's the World Economic Forum. I don't have the video, kind of kicking myself that I didn't clip it for this thing, but it's audio. But it talks about what things will be, what life will be like in 2030. And the first frame is you will own nothing. You will rent everything and you will be happy. This is the World Economic Forum. This is like an ad for them on their 2030 agenda. I was trying to find it during the break real quick. I couldn't find it, but I did run across this. This is the World Economic Forum. It's weforum.org/agenda, and it's got a story here. Here's the headline to the story. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Let me read that to you again. This is on the World Economic Forum's webpage. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. I'm going to keep this story up and read it after the show because that's creepy as hell to me. This is the first thing I ran across when it came to the Great Reset. Kind of got me on this track for today's show. It's got a guy that writes for The Spectator over in England. His name is James Dellingpole, and he did an interview where he talks about this. And I started to say, I'm kind of tooting my own horn. I told you COVID wasn't going to be gone after the election. It wasn't a Democrat plot, but I also knew it was something bigger than that. Back when everybody said, oh, they're just doing this to hurt Donald Trump, I said, no, I don't think so. This feels bigger because I was looking at Italy and Australia and Brazil. So this feels bigger. And who would need cover for something? It's the economic system. They have looted everything they can. It's at verge of falling apart. They need more control over everything before they lose control. And apparently, James Dellingpole came to the same conclusion when he was looking at COVID. He thought it was just a bunch of bungling bureaucrats, and then he discovered the Great Reset.
G'day, Ron. You know what? I'm really, really depressed, actually. I think I started off this pandemic thinking it was just people being a bit stupid and it would all pass. But now I realize that this is organized. And you rightly mentioned the Great Reset. Anyone who doesn't realize that the Great Reset is the biggest threat to our way of life right now hasn't been paying attention. They take it deadly seriously, the people from the World Economic Forum. And so, unfortunately, do our political leaders. When you hear the phrase build back better, and I've heard our prime minister use it, I've heard Joe Biden use it, this is the code phrase for the Great Reset of our lives.
And James, the World Economic Forum have been tweeting, today's consumers do not want more and better goods and services. Rather, they increasingly expect companies to contribute social welfare, et cetera, et cetera. Is this all part and parcel of it?
Absolutely. their belief is that the old world, the world that you and I, and I suspect most of your viewers really quite liked, is broken. It needs to be changed, whether we like it or not. They're claiming there that we like it. I'm not sure that we do, actually. They're talking about things like they don't want us to own property anymore. We're not going to own anything. It will be provided for us. Well, who does own the property? Who's renting it out to us? Some sort of shadowy elite. This is a takeover by the technocrats. And I urge anyone who thinks that this is a kind of conspiracy theory to do a bit of background reading. The Great Reset, the World Economic Forum, combined with UN Agenda 2030, as it's now called, is a complete transformation of our societies around the world on lines I would call communist or fascist. I mean, frankly, what's the difference? This is terrifying, much scarier than the flu, the Wu flu.
Exactly. Well, speaking of the Wu flu, you on your brilliant Delling pod, which I urge people to Google.
Well, I'll stop that. He goes into, he had an infectious disease guy and is, you know, blowing the lid off of the ridiculousness surrounding coronavirus. But we'll stay focused right now on the Great Reset, which is tied to COVID. It is. See, they needed something that would bring every economy to its knees. America is the biggest. We definitely are kind of the problem for them. But they needed to bring down all of Western democracies. And I've been pointing this out for a while. It's just that when you look at Italy, Spain, England, basically everybody outside of Sweden, you get down to Australia, the United States, Canada. And I've talked about this many times. I said, this is so odd. It is these Western cultures that are really being taken down to their knees surrounding coronavirus. Well, that's why. See, this was never a plot to hurt Donald Trump. That was a feature. It was a benefit of it, I guess. But that was never the purpose. They needed to bring us to our knees. And they've got till 2030 to roll this thing out. They knew it was time to get this thing kicked off. Now, this is a video. I think I have to narrate this. They have a lot of videos, World Economic Forum. And again, this is from this the channel of this. I'm playing this as a YouTube. You'll hear the music. I'm going to have to narrate it to you. It's a little annoying on an audio radio show, but it's important enough. If you want to get my show notes, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYAB.com, and I'll send you links to all this stuff. But this is a video on the channel of the World Economic Forum. And you can hear the music behind, and I'll narrate to you exactly what they're telling us with text and images on the screen. It starts with a subway car here with only about 3 people on it. You know, not the crowded, because we can't be crowded anymore, right? Only a few people will be allowed out of their homes. So that's where they start. Now they've got a room full of people. Looks like it's on a plane or a train, all in their hazmat suits. Now they've got a guy that's spraying down a building with a big fogger to kill the coronavirus. A little lightning strike, a locust, fires, the wildfires, riots in the streets. Our world has changed, it says. Now it's got crowds walking in masks, people being temperature checked. You know, I'm telling you, I get an ominous feeling of these new thermometers. Now, I know ergonomically it's correct to point this at someone's forehead to check their temperature, but it's a pistol grip. And I got to tell you, I've been very uneasy with that ever since I've seen it. I know it's ergonomically correct. If you've got to check a lot of temperatures, you want something with a pistol grip to aim at someone's head, but it's creeped me out ever since we started seeing it. Now they're going into labs with PPE on this video. Oh, they got the Zoom call. Our challenges are greater, it says. Now it shows a hurricane, pollution, automation, more pollution, our fragilities exposed. Now it's showing riots. It's showing people touching hands across a plate glass window because they can't be in touch with each other because of COVID. Now it's showing a giant dump, looks like in Delhi or some third world country that people are trying to pick food out of. Our systems need a reset, comes on the screen. Oh, and they push the reset button on a computer. On a keyboard. Oh, now everything's going backwards, see? All the bad thing that they just showed us, the people in the hazmat suits, the overcrowded cities, the people going into dumps, the unrest in the street, all that's going backwards because they've hit the big reset button. Oh, the world's getting cleaner and greener. Everyone has a role to play, they say. Oh, it shows everybody in a mask, a little girl jumping rope in her mask. Now it's got a bunch of kids standing socially distanced outside, all wearing a, no, these aren't kids. These are teachers, excuse me, or protesters with their Black Lives Matter signs up. What do they say? I can't breathe. Yeah, a lot of I can't breathe signs. They're all socially distanced, all wearing black, all wearing face masks. This is part of the good new world, right? We went through the bad world, the overcrowding, the hazmats, the unrest. Now it shows a peaceful protest of socially distanced people standing still with their Black Lives Matter signs in their masks. They show a baby, a newborn baby. They showed a sonogram and then a newborn baby born into their great new world. Windmills. Oh, a big windmill farm. A rocket headed to the stars. Oh, a picture of Earth from above. A glacier fully intact. A waterfall. Fish in a big swarm. Oh, the redwoods looking up at it. The Great Reset, it closes with. They're promising us this great new world. Join us, it says, at WEF.TheGreatReset. They want you to see this. They want you to see their promises. What time is it? I'm going to take a break. We're going to come back and listen to Klaus Schwab. I kind of encourage you to get my show notes. A couple of people last time I talked about him, he looks like Dr. Evil. He just needs a white cat on his lap that he's stroking while he's talking. He goes on CNBC to explain a little bit. And again, this is CNBC, your NBC affiliate. The people that comment on Wall Street, who you would think the Wall Street people, CNBC, the Financial Channel, would be a pretty big fan of capitalism, right? Wouldn't you think that's kind of the bastion of capitalism? To those of you on the left, you think that CNBC and Wall Street is capitalism. It's not. It's cronyism. See, if Wall Street was capitalist, CNBC wouldn't have some globalist bossing us around. They would say, no, we leave the world to the free market. But no, CNBC is part of this globalist network. They're very excited to have Klaus Schwab on. I'll let him talk for himself when we come back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com. All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're talking about the Great Reset. This is something that Republicans don't necessarily see coming. Democrats just tried to vote it in. Whether they're successful or not is yet to be seen. They have no idea what they're in store for. They actually voted for this stuff. Now, to the Republicans, a lot of you will be saying, well, see, Mike, this is why we need Trump. You've been criticizing him, but he's saving us from this stuff. I'm not so sure, to be perfectly honest with you. He put so many globalists into his cabinet. Like 12 globalists from Goldman Sachs in his cabinet. He's got a Rothschild banker as his Department of Commerce, Wilbur Ross. He brought in a lot of globalists into his cabinet. Maybe that was a mistake. Maybe he thought he could turn them. I don't know. But a lot of people have got a lot more faith in Donald Trump fending off the globalists. And I've watched for 4 years as the globalists have gotten more powerful and richer. I'm not saying it's a big conspiracy. Maybe it's not on purpose, but it seems to me that conservatives have stood down for 4 years while these globalists have been doing absolutely great in the name of fighting globalists. All right, I got a bunch of clips to play here. This is Klaus Schwab. And he, in his, I mean, even his accent makes you feel like he's a villain. He's on CNBC talking about the Great Reset.
I don't know how it will play out in November, but what we know is that we will end up with many more unemployed, and particularly also people in the gray economy, which are not counted for.
See, he says, we don't know how it will turn out in November. This is obviously before the election, but he knows one thing. There'll be a lot of chaos. Yeah, he knows that. They need the chaos. They need you to be scared and uncertain and need somebody to come in and save you, make it better. This is how calls for big government and world government go out. They've got to collapse everything, and then they will rebuild. You just sit back. They'll take care of it.
Who lose their jobs. So we will see definitively a lot of anger already now, but probably increase by the end of the year, because this crisis will be with us until we really have found a remedy. So we have to prepare for a more angry world. And how to prepare? It means to take the necessary action to create a fairer world, to see that we provide everybody with decent access to...
See, they provide everybody. What does that sound like? What kind of governmental system does that sound like, where some big governmental body or overarching body provides everything to people? Huh. Oh, yeah, socialism. Communism.
The health system, that we make sure that those people who are really left behind, and I'm not speaking only on national levels, I'm speaking also internationally. If I see now the tragedy in some of the emerging countries like South Africa, like some countries in East Asia, I think it's all, I don't have too many remedies. The remedies have to be discussed through dialogue by the stakeholders of our global system, but I just see the need for such a dialogue, and I see the need for action. I see the need for a great reset.
The Great Reset. That's CNBC. Now, for anybody keeping score out there, Trump's current economic advisor is Larry Kudlow from CNBC. He's a globalist. This is another infomercial. I can't remember if I have to narrate this one or not. Let's see how far we get into this. This is actually from the World Economic Forum, and the title of this video is The Great Reset.
Now is the historical moment, the time, not only to fight severe virus, but to shape the system.
We have a unique but rapid...
This is Prince Charles of England.
...rapidly shrinking window of opportunity to learn lessons and reset ourselves on a more sustainable
reset
path.
Reset ourselves.
It is an opportunity we have never had before.
Yes, we've never had this before. We've never had this coronavirus. We never had this golden opportunity to remake the entire system. We've never seen so many different Western-style countries that have tinkered around with capitalism and become wildly successful for their people. We haven't had them all fall at the same time until now.
And may never have again. So we must use all the levers we have at our disposal, knowing that each and every one of us has a vital role to play.
Now is the time to think.
This is the managing director of the International Monetary Fund. As globalist as you get.
What history would say about this crisis. And now is the time for all of us to define our own role. What is it that would make it so that history would look at this crisis as the great opportunity for reset?
The Great Reset is a welcome recognition that is human.
This is the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres.
Tragedy must be a wake-up call. It is imperative that we reimagine, rebuild, redesign, reinvigorate, and rebalance our worlds.
Oh, that sounds great.
Rebalancing investment, harnessing science and technology, and advancing the transition to net zero emissions, all elements of the Great Reset, are fundamental to building the future we need.
The world's problems fit on three sides of a triangle. It's one versus many, man versus nature, and the...
This is the CEO of... I can't see, but this is one of the business leaders that's there at the World Economic Forum in Davos. And stay with me, because I'm going to give you a surprise guest at Davos.
The unfortunate foundation is long-term versus short-term.
We had already income inequality that...
International Trade Union Confederation, this is their leader.
...was fueling income, race, gender inequality. We have a climate emergency, which we can't walk away from. There's no doubt that the very survival of the human race requires us to act.
Any recovery stimulus should have green conditions attached to it.
Ah, conditions. we're going to give you everything you need as long as you do exactly what we say. Democrats, this is what you just voted for. Republicans, this is what you haven't been paying attention to. Maybe that's disingenuous. You have been paying attention to it. You elected Donald Trump to take on these globalists. The only problem is you didn't notice during the last 4 years they've been getting more powerful. We haven't derailed these plans. Well, maybe it's just overwhelming. Maybe one man can't do it. I don't know. I don't know that Donald Trump's in on it, but I got to tell you, you're going to hear in just a second from somebody in the Trump administration talking about some pretty socialist policies.
Energy prices should reflect real costs.
You need private sector capital, private sector ingenuity, private sector technology, and private sector capabilities to come to the party. You need enormous trust between the private sector and the public sector for this to actually work.
The public-private sector. That's a much, much better term than fascism. Now I'm a libertarian. I like privatizing just about everything, but privatizing it. Not the private-public partnership. That's cronyism, is essentially what that's become. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you somebody else from Davos, from the hoi polloi, the financial elites, the globalists. It's somebody whose voice you might even recognize. And then I'm going to play my kind of finisher clip today, which bolsters my argument that you can go ahead and unfriend everybody that you've known for 20 years that didn't vote the way you voted. That's exactly what they want you to do. They love the chaos. They love the fracturing of our society. They love the hate. The more alone you are, the more fractured we are, the more chaos there is, the more receptive we're going to be to all of these conditions. They're going to give us everything that we need, nothing that we don't. They'll decide what we need and what we don't need. But they need the chaos, and they're happy for you to separate. But go ahead and destroy not only the family unit, but let's go ahead and destroy our social fabric too, our social circles. Let's chop all of those in half and get those into teams as well. It's really, really sick. But I'm going to show you, the elites don't play that game. They're above partisanship. Fighting with your friends and your family over politics is for the little people. I'll be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
All right, final segment. We're talking about the Great Reset. I'm telling you, if Biden wins, I hope conservatives will fight again. And I'm going to show you, this stuff's been coming in to varying degrees during the last 4 years. Nobody pays any attention. I've been reading this article that I found. This is from the World Economic Forum. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. I'm going to take this to the show tomorrow. I want to finish my clips today. Here's the opening sentence of this piece. Welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. This is the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset. Holy crap. This is the plan. And they had to tear down our economy first to get it there. This is the money, honey. Fox Business News, big Trump supporter, Maria Bartiromo. Do you know who Maria Bartiromo is? She's a globalist. Her husband is, I believe, a bigwig, maybe at the top of the heap at Citibank, at Citigroup. She is a globalist. Big Trump supporter, but she's a globalist. And she's going to interview a couple of people here you might recognize, one of them being Ivanka Trump.
Put a better than expected earnings this week. CEO Jeannie Rometty joined me this week, along with Ivanka Trump. We talked about...
And let me just say, this was filmed. This interview takes place in Davos, Switzerland, at the World Economic Forum.
8 p.m. earnings. But first, we got into putting America back to work in this exclusive interview. Watch.
We're working with the governors across the country to avoid redundancy, to allow people to have the mobility to move to where the jobs are located. We're supporting that. We have some amazing statistics that just came out about women's employment in 2019. So in the last year of all the new jobs created, 1.5 million of them went to women. 73% of all new jobs were secured by women.
I saw that. That was incredible. Yeah.
Some of these policy areas that we're working that aren't exclusive to women but disproportionately affect them, like expanding access to affordable, high-quality child care, critically important.
Yeah, the government should definitely get involved more in our child care, shouldn't it? Shouldn't the government provide child care for everybody? I mean, that's not a Democrat talking point at all.
Child care is undeniably a work-related expense. You can't work without it. Yeah. So the fact that this party is leading on doubling access, we've eliminated child care wait lists in dozens of states across the country. It's really exciting, the fact that we've done so.
We got rid of all those child care wait lists so we can get those women out of the home and away from their children and into work and get those children into schools and daycares and let somebody else raise them. Oh, I'm being too hard on Ivanka. She's just trying to help out the working mom.
Much on the issue of paid family leave, leading by example, finally passing into law that the federal government will provide 12 weeks of paid parental leave to our own employees, as we ask the private sector to do the same. We also created a paid leave tax credit for employers employing people making under $72,000 a year and thus unlikely to offer paid leave.
I like the training part of it a lot because...
There you go. That was Ivanka Trump. For all you people out there that want a Trump dynasty, look, I want Trump to come out of this election ahead. I want him to be the president for the next 4 years, because if he doesn't, we've got Joe Biden, and that terrifies me. I will continue to criticize Donald Trump for the next 4 years because I think there's a lot of stuff the conservatives are not paying attention to. You're in love. I'm that guy. I'm that guy. I'm your good friend that's going, hey, yeah, she's nice and she's hot, man. Yeah, I see why you like her, but she sure does seem to spend a lot of your money. I'm the friend that's really trying to tell you the truth. You're in love. For those of you out there wanting a Trump dynasty, you just heard Ivanka Trump. She got passed paid family leave. Now all of us taxpayers who don't work for the government get to pay government employees for 3 months off of work for whatever family emergency, birth of a child, death of someone, take care of a loved one. Look, those things happen. I support somebody going home and taking care of their family. That's a personal responsibility thing. But the government paying them to do it, and then forcing private companies to offer it. She says, well, we're giving them a tax credit if they do paid family leave. Yeah, but that means the employer's got to hire other people while that person's gone. That's a huge tax on small business owners in particular. Ask any small business owner if they can afford to give their employees 3 months off because Nana stubbed her toe. So if you want the Trump dynasty, I've warned you about other things. I've been ignored. I'm sure I will be on that too. This is just a couple of funny things I thought I'd play for you. Funny, all of you out there that are disassociating from your friends and your family, I cut all those Democrats off my Facebook feed. I can't even talk to a Democrat. They're so stupid.
I just made an ad for her dad.
Hi, Iowa. I'm Ivanka Trump.
She posted this message on YouTube telling Iowans how the caucuses work.
It's a secret ballot. You just write down the name Trump and you are done.
Wouldn't it be great if she had her baby in Iowa? Wouldn't that be great?
Mom-to-be Ivanka was really showing at this event with her dad and her husband in Council Bluffs, Iowa.
I have no doubt that he will make America great again.
Hello!
Hillary Clinton's daughter,
it's
Chelsea,
coming, it's
is
coming.
Also
just
on
hang
the
with
campaign
me a second.
Trail,
You'll
stumping
see what
with her mom and dad.
And I am so proud to support my mom in her campaign.
People.com just posted video of Chelsea and her mom.
Now, this is during the 2016 election. They're featuring Ivanka. They're featuring Chelsea. They're telling you about that. How many people in 2016 did you disassociate from because you didn't agree on politics?
Mom and dad taking a selfie. Chelsea and Ivanka Trump have been pals for years, and they have reportedly agreed not to let their parents' rivalry spoil their friendship. Both are pregnant. Ivanka is 34, Chelsea 35. The two have reportedly arranged a play date for their newborns after the election.
Oh, look at that. While all you people are out there carrying the water for these political parties and cutting off your moms, you're no longer my mom because you voted for Trump. Well, you're no longer my son because you voted for Biden. Chelsea Clinton and Ivanka Trump, they're arranging play dates, even though their parents are the ones that have got you in this political theater fighting with each other. It's almost funny. I'll play this last one, too. Chelsea puts kind of almost a finer point on this.
A little information, kids can make a difference.
Attracting young voters is one of the keys to winning the White House. With Hillary and Donald leading in the polls, it could put a strain on the election's most unusual friendship.
Here it is.
You're friends with Ivanka Trump.
Ivanka and I talk about everything. I'm so grateful she's my friend. I think she's a great woman, and I support her. I mean, as I support all my friends.
Chelsea Clinton says, and I got to tell you, she's right. It's everybody else that's wrong. That's Chelsea Clinton. This is while, supposedly, the World Wrestling production that was going on in the 2016, where, you know, it's the red versus blue, Hillary versus Trump. You got to pick a side. You got to be all Trump and think Hillary is the devil, or you got to be all Hillary and think Trump is Hitler. You got to disassociate from your friends and family. But you've got the two first daughters. Oh, no. She says there, oh, I think Ivanka's great. I'm not going to let politics get in the way of our friendship. She's a great gal. We talk about everything. We arrange play dates with each other. Do you understand the point? I don't think I can make it much clearer. For the elites, the people at the top of this nut job two-party World Wrestling Federation production, they're doing just fine. They don't cut off their friends. They might need them for business contacts later down the road. It's the little people who are doing all the hatred, the fighting in the streets. They're in the penthouses. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.